with the subject of the unpardonable sin. And I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. When I preached on it, I didn't fully understand what it was. And I'll explain that to you as we continue this morning. But if you will, turn in your Bible to John chapter 3. We're going to read a number of scriptures this morning, so you'll need your Bibles and need to have them handy and following the various scriptures. Because we preach from the Word of God. And to be honest with you, if we don't preach God's Word, we need to go home and just shut her down. Because it's God's Word that will inspire us, will strengthen us, will make us faithful. And it is God's Word that brings salvation and forgiveness of sin. It endears us to God. And the most important thing we need to understand about God's Word is it is the truth. And it is to be believed and followed. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world." You remember I read that this morning, Tylen? He's shaking his head. We gave him a Bible this morning. And I asked him, did he want me to read something? So that's what I read for him. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe, be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." These are two critical verses. "For this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Turn with me also now to Matthew chapter 12. This is the account in the Gospel of Matthew of the Lord Jesus Christ casting a demon out of the man who was not only demon-possessed, but he was also blind and also dumb. Verse 22 of chapter 12 of the Gospel of Matthew, "Then he was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and they said, Is this not the son of David?" Now that's a key verse, key statement. "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself, it shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. And if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God," and that's a key statement, the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, "then the kingdom of God is coming to you." Do you understand what he was saying? He was the Messiah. He said, if I'm casting out devils and casting out demons in the name of God, then the Son of God has come to you and the kingdom has come to you. I am the Messiah is what he was saying. "Or else how the one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except the first, the blind, they bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Therefore I say unto you, and this is a key verse, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven of men. Dear Lord, direct our hearts so that we can understand this, and help us to see, Lord, the importance of this wonderful truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. After the man had been brought to him that had a demon, he was also blind and he was also dumb. He couldn't speak, he could not hear. And when Jesus healed him, he immediately he could hear, he could speak, and he did. By the way, you know he didn't have to go to rehab? he didn't have to go to speech therapy. He immediately was restored complete. That, when you see that, that's a miracle. And you see these things that people are calling miracles today, and some of the folks who call themselves churches and doing miracles by the Spirit of God and so forth, healing, it's a lie. And it does not match what this Bible says, because when God hears, it's instant and it is total and complete. That's the only way God would heal anybody. What kind of God would it be that would heal somebody or do some miracle and then have to send them to rehab for the next 6 months? Some conclude the unpardonable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that's true. And they also state, and I have said this, and I folks did not understand it, and I'm correcting myself this morning in my failure. They say it cannot be committed in today, because it was blasphemy of the Jews did by refusing to accept Jesus as the Messiah. And I'm going to show you this morning something very important about that. The Holy Spirit was bringing conviction at that particular time. We know he was, because whenever we look at the scriptures, we see in verse 23, and all the people were amazed and said, "Is this not the son of David?" What does that mean? What is the son of David? Who is the son of David? It was a clear reference to the coming of the Messiah, because God had promised that one would sit on the throne of David, that the Messiah would be of the tribe of Judah, the descendant of David. And so in using this phrase there, says, is this man just did this tremendous miracle right before our eyes. Is this not the Messiah? That's exactly what they were saying. But then notice the reaction of the scribes and the Pharisees. Of course, it doesn't say scribes here, but they were in the crowd too. The Pharisees said, and when they heard it, "This fella cast out demons by Beelzebub, the devil, the prince of the devils." Now, what happened, and what was happening in those men's life? They had seen the same miracle that the others had seen. They had the same evidence that this Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Christ. They had seen the wonderful, magnificent power of Almighty God displayed right in front of their very eyes. There wasn't any question about it. Now let me ask you something. Just you can use logic to understand this. If somebody was to walk up and say, "Be healed," and this person was blind, had a demon in him, and was dumb, and that person instantly, the demon left, they could hear and speak, would you not think that came from God? What man could do that? I don't care who he be. You know, I had the greatest minister of the earth on television. I'm being facetious. They don't do things like that. By the way, this same Jesus raised people from the dead. These modern evangelists and these modern healers, they don't do that. Because they can't. They can't. That's one thing you can't fake. You know what? When somebody's dead, they're dead. So, what was their sin? What was the unpardonable sin that they were committed? Verse 31. Therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that makes a difference between the two. You see that? It's sin and then blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven men. What is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? It's a lot more. Of course, it involved with that, at this particular scripture, the rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Even seeing the miracle that he had done. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy. Let's look at another scripture. And let's study this together. And find out together what this actually means. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. This is Paul's testimony of his personal encounter with Jesus Christ and of his salvation. I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And no clearer statement can be made. Paul's about to tell you some interesting things and vital things about himself. He says, who before was before a blasphemer. There is that word, blasphemer. And a persecutor, an injurious, and I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter be believed on him unto everlasting life. And unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Do you notice that last sentence in verse 16? For a pattern to them which should afterwards believe, there's that word, on him unto everlasting life. Paul committed blasphemy. Who was he blaspheming against? Paul knew the truth. He knew the miracles just like he was a Pharisee. He knew the miracles like all the Pharisees were. The man lived in the same time, in the same environment, in the same place that Jesus ministered. And yet he, like the Pharisees that he was, and the other Pharisees, rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He had all the evidence that anybody could have. He was not ignorant of the miracles of Jesus Christ. He was not ignorant of the facts of Jesus' life, of his birth, of his life, of all the facts and evidences that he was the Messiah. And yet, in his old wicked heart, Paul rejected the fact that the Messiah was come. Now, I don't have time to go into the reasons why he did that, but the main reason was simply this. The scribes and the Pharisees, if they accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, would lose the prestigious place within the house of Israel. They would be accepting someone else as being much greater than they were. And they would also be turning their back on all that they stood for, mainly their pride, which said, I'm a wonderful man. I do wonderful things. I study the scriptures. I do all kinds of wonderful. I do charity and I go to the temple and I do the sacrifices and all this kind of stuff. All of that meant what? It was steeped in their pride. They were very proud of the fact they were religious people. They were not interested in a Messiah who would come, as Jesus had said, that he would forgive their sins and give them eternal life. That was his message. They weren't interested in that. They were good enough to get to heaven on their own. And so why did they need a Messiah? And Jesus, by the way, when he fed the 5,000, the people tried to make him the civil leader and the king of Israel, and he rejected that, so he wouldn't help them as being a civil king to take over and kick the Romans out. Do you see the background in this? I'm not going to go any further, but you can easily see why they didn't want to do it. And the main reason was they had this old carnal nature. And that carnal nature had a bent to sin, and they loved their self-righteous acts and their self-righteous life, and they didn't want to give it up. And that's not the message of Jesus Christ. That's not the gospel, the saving gospel. Thus, I'd like to focus our attention this morning on what is the absolute worst sin that a man, woman, boy, or girl can commit. And it is unpardonable. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 says, if any man see a brother in a sin that is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. And then he makes this chilling statement, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Let's look at what that sin is that we not even should pray about. It's not murder. The folks in, I had two young men standing on my door a couple of weeks ago, and they said, well, you believe that a man can commit murder and go to heaven. And I said, yes, I do. Well, we don't believe that. Well, the reason they don't believe it, they do not understand salvation and God's forgiveness of sin. They don't understand anything about God and about why the Lord Jesus Christ came. They think they're self-righteous themselves. They're in the same group and the same class with the Pharisees. We can be good enough to earn our salvation. Sadly, they can't. And you and I know that. The Bible tells us that. But they don't believe the Bible. Throughout history, men have perpetrated horrible and hideous sins against his fellow man. Evil rulers have literally murdered millions of people. They're doing it on earth right now. They're doing it in the Middle East, cutting people's heads off and proud of it, showing it on television and so forth. As many as in the far few years ago, 30,000 Christians were murdered. In Sudan, 1 million have been killed. Serial killers killed. Some have killed as many as 50 people. Can they be forgiven? The Bible says that if we will believe and put our faith in Jesus Christ, he'll forgive us of any sin. Do you understand that the Apostle Paul was a murderer? We kind of miss that sometimes. He was given letters by the Pharisaical Sanhedrin, which was populated, which was the big court of the Jews. And he was given letters that he could go out and put Christians, every time he could find one, and put them in prison, and many of them died there. Not at the hand of Paul, but because of what he done and put them in prison. Prison was a pretty bad place. And many of them died there. Many of them lost their homes, they lost their families, they lost everything they had because of what the Apostle Paul did. He was a terrible man. God saved him. Stricken men with their minds full of lust and perversion have assaulted their victims and brutally murdered them. And yet, we have seen many saved. I'll tell you somebody else in the Bible who was saved. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? God saved Nebuchadnezzar. He was a horrible king. He was a king that went down to Israel and destroyed it, killing thousands upon thousands of Jews, raiding the temple and razing the whole city of Jerusalem. What did God do? He saved him in the end. What about Jonah going to Nineveh? They were kind of bad people too. That's why Jonah didn't want to go down there. He hated.